If your vibe is the earlier the better, Lowe's early Black Friday deals are a no-brainer. Get up to 35% off select major appliances, and rewards members get free delivery, haul-away, basic installation, and a 2-year Lowe's protection plan when you spend $2,500 or more on select LG major appliances. Valid through 11/4. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. LG member offer excludes Massachusetts, Maryland, Wisconsin, New Jersey, and Florida. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. The business of America is small business, and I welcome Gene Marks, the small business columnist, Guardian newspaper, UK and US edition, our hometown newspaper, the Philadelphia Inquirer, other distinguished publications. We go immediately to a metric that Gene has educated me to understand is a measure of American confidence. It's the architecture index. And when it's rising, there is good news ahead. When it's not rising, Gene, a very good evening to you. Soft is the term that the Wall Street likes to use for indexes that are weaker than expected. Does soft apply to the architecture index that you're flagging? Good evening to you, Gene.
Yeah, and yeah, it really does. And yeah, I love that you love this index because I love the index too. It's the American Institute of Architects. For those of you that have had a head under the rock and not listened to us all these many years, I do like to track it every month. The index itself, yeah, there's more bad news than good news, but there, you know, I'll give both sides of it. I mean, the bad news is that it continues to track down. It has been really in negative territory for quite a while now, like really since throughout most of 2023 and now into 5 months of 2024. So that's not, you know, not a good sign. And you know, the good news is it's not as low as it was back during COVID, if that's a help. But it's really been in the negative territory. Now, remember, these are architectural billings. This is it's a metric used by the American Institute of Architects to, they poll their members, they find out what their billings are, what their plan billings are as well, and some other factors about their firms. And just across the board, it just continues to show you know, a softness, not only in the high-end you know, residential market. I mean, these are like multi-family dwellings where I think the billings have been down like over, you know, the longest of them all. But also, you know, these are apartment complexes, John, and high-end residences, but then also commercial properties as well. You know, the market's stuck. And I was speaking to one property developer from the San Diego area recently, who was telling me that, you know, their projects are really slowed down because it's high interest rates and it's low demand for buildings and real estate. I do, you know, and we've mentioned this before, John, and again, I just want to be on record as saying that once interest rates do start trending down, which hopefully will happen by the end of the year, and they trend down significantly, I think we'll see a huge pent-up demand for residential home buyers, which will, I think, you know, overlap into the business world. And I think architects will start seeing a little bit better demand for their services. But right now, you know, that industry's in the doldrums.
Implicit in the index, I read, is a home prices story. Yeah. No matter how high the cost of money, the price of houses continues to climb. That doesn't sound healthy, Gene.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, home prices are up, according to this report in Fox Business, up 47% since 2020, 47%. And, you know, there's still buyers out there. It's not as if the market is you know, like, dead, but a lot of people are really holding back. And I think a lot of people are going to want to sell their homes, like I said, even, you know, at these levels. Again, once there are buyers that appear that are willing to take on the higher level of mortgage rates. And this really does have an impact on so many small businesses. I mean, besides realtors, which have had their industry completely turned upside down by changes in the commissions they can charge, yeah, there's all the indirect services that small businesses provide. We mentioned architects, but also, you know, obviously mortgage brokers, you know, landscapers, home designers, interior designers, you know, other people that provide services when new homes are, you know, even notaries. You know, and title insurance people, all those people suffer when there's stagnation in the market. And because home prices are so high, it's like this a perfect storm of high home prices, high interest rates. It's just freezing up, you know, buyers from buying right now. And, you know, even the sellers that want to get out of their, you know, get out of their house and move on, they're just having a hard time finding a market for it.
anecdote. I find it striking how few for sale signs there are in this general rural area, which is a favorite watering hole for New York residents once upon a time. They moved yeah. here semi-permanently during the COVID, and now they're back and forth with Manhattan and Brooklyn. But very few for sale signs. That might be the cost of money. That might be that secret story. We've all got really low mortgages, really low.
It's true. I will also give you another anecdote just to add to that. I have a real good friend who just bought a house in Philadelphia, you know, the art museum. And the reason, you know, why there's still a market is both him and his fiance, they own their own houses already. They're going to keep their existing houses and they're going to buy this house to move in together. They're going to rent out their existing houses because the rental market is actually very strong. And, yeah, they can swing the 6.8% mortgage that they're getting. It's not, you know, completely debilitating. And that way they can, you know, they can get the house that they want. And then they're going to, by renting out their other places in the strong market, they'll be able to pay for their mortgage that way. So, like I said earlier, I mean, the market's not dead by any chance. I mean, there are people out there still doing deals and people that have assets that they can leverage, like my friend. That's great. But yeah, for the most part, particularly first-time home buyers, it's tough, you know, to get into the market right now.
What does LA port traffic tell us?
Well, there's mixed results at the LA ports, and I like to watch what's going on with the LA ports. Port traffic on inbound shipments have been rising really at a pretty steady pace since the middle of 2023 all the way through April of this year. So there's definitely more activity on imports, bringing stuff in, obviously from Asia is where this is coming from. The levels themselves are still not at what we were seeing post-COVID. I mean, you know, we took a little bit of a dip during COVID, and then you and I, we talked about that during 2021 and 2022. People are going nuts with port traffic. It was at all-time highs. So the levels are, you know, have dipped since then, but they're still higher than they were even pre-COVID. So imports at a level right now, we are bringing in a lot of products from overseas. Now we're in the middle of the getting into the summer. People are buying now for the Christmas season, and we're seeing that trend up, which is good. On the export side, it's generally flat exports, and exports themselves are still lower than what they were back during COVID, but they've been flat really, you know, since 2022, most of 2022, same level. So we're back to the old bringing more in than sending more products out, and that's what the LA port is telling us. And again, Los Angeles and Long Beach ports are among the biggest in the country.
Cost of money. We go to the hotel occupancy rate. Now, people are moving around, but Zoom has got to be a factor in this not growing as fast as it used to.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it is up year after year. These are all, you know, hotel occupancies. So, listen, I mean, I travel, you know, John, more than you now. And, you know, the planes are pretty full and the hotels are definitely busy. There's no doubt about that. So the hotel occupancy rate right now is tracking alongside of last year, which is good. So it's up a little bit of a tick, but it's at the same levels. Still behind what we saw in 2018. You know, like, for example, this time in 2018, hotels were close to 70% occupied. Now they're like in the mid-60s, you know. So, and they've been tracking lower since 2018, really since COVID. So, you know, the good news is the hotel industry has certainly recovered, but the, you know, we're still not back at pre-pandemic levels on the travel side. Hard to believe, because just for me as an observer, you know, it's busy. I mean, I'm still waiting in line to check in, you know, and which, by the way, is a little pro tip for you guys. If you get the mobile key, John, I know you haven't traveled to a hotel in a bit, but next time get the app and get the mobile key for your hotel so that you can avoid the lines at check-in. You just go straight to your room. It's been working very well for me. I'm sure there's all sorts of security problems, but I don't care.
Yeah, my image of you when you arrive at the hotel is you go to the nearest robot, right? Isn't that what you do?
Pretty close to it. Usually there is nothing worse than after a full day of traveling, arriving at a hotel at 9 o'clock at night and having to wait in line for 20 minutes to check in. There is nothing worse than that. But now, because of these mobile keys, you can check in advance. And then after you check in, you come in, you just go right to your room and then use your phone with a Bluetooth connection to get access to your room, which is great. Some people like to have a hard copy key with them. And I say, fine, just, you know, go to the hotel desk when it's less busy and you can get an actual key. But that's worked out well. Just wanted to add in a little tip for your listeners while we're talking about travel.
A trend that may be national, Gene points to. New York labor law will require employees to provide up to 20 hours of paid leave in a 52-week period for pregnant employees to receive prenatal care starting in 2025. This looks benevolent, and yet I could see immediately the kind of complications that come with the New Yorker short story.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There's been a significant trend across the country for mandated time off, for sick time. And many states, require employers to provide mandated paid time off, either for sick time or for family leave. And in some states, I think there's three states now, you're mandated as an employer to provide time off for vacation. You know, it's based on a formula, 1 hour for every 40 hours work or something like that. So that's one thing, and that's a whole other issue. Now New York is taking it one step further. Starting January 1st of 2025, this bill is just signed into law. Employers there, regardless of size, are going to have to provide, like you said, up to 20 hours of paid leave for prenatal care. That's 20 hours for every 52-week period. So it's like, that's almost 3 days worth of work that you've got to pay your employees to go for prenatal care. And you're right, John, on the one hand, it's super important and it's very, your women need this care and I get that. But I can see people opposing it saying, it's your choice to get pregnant. And, so now we're almost providing a discriminatory benefit to people who choose to get pregnant. What about, the woman that chooses not to get pregnant or can't get pregnant? She doesn't get that time off. And, people will have an issue with that. I don't know what you think about it, John, but it seems discriminatory.
The spouses will get involved immediately. You know, spousal leave is something that was trending out of California. So I see this as more government regulation. That's all. I'm not saying good or bad. It's just an example of a trend. It's only in New York now. So I'm surprised that New York got ahead of California. Maybe California already has it, but CNBC doesn't mention California.
Yeah, not yet. And it's the three states that you watch for these kinds of things are California, Illinois, and New York. You know, those are like the three that really lead the way in these kinds of regulations. And that's a really good point. I didn't really think about that, but you're right. It's inevitable that this moves over to both parents. And I can't say if it's good or bad. You're right. It's more regulations. I mean, listen, I was in Stockholm for a month in January. You can't believe the number of fathers that are there with infant babies because they have very, very liberal, paid time off for dads. And it's a good thing, right? I mean, I don't know. It's just more regulations that the businesses have to deal with.
I just read that Europe believes it will top it for 448 million and then start to decline. In other words, we got a baby shortage in the developed nations, global north. And that's a crisis for another generation. We boomers have aged out of that one. So let's move on to credit cards, something I understand. Gene, I hardly use my credit card anymore because I use the, what's it called, the debit card. Much more straightforward. Is that a trend nationally?
Well, it is. People are using debit cards more than credit cards. Not more than credit cards, but it's certainly a very popular thing. I will tell you, first of all, before I even tell you the story, guys, don't use a debit card if you can avoid it, okay? Debit cards I do not recommend, because when you use a debit card, you understand money is coming directly out of your bank account immediately. And if there's any ever fraud, if you're using your card at like some automated machine or something and they're able to capture your PIN, your money is gone. Whereas if you use a credit card, you don't have to pay back that money for 30 days. And it's the credit card's money that gets gone. You know, the card issuer, it's their money. They're the ones that are on the hook. So I'm just telling you, the way security is and the way there's so many hackers and people out there stealing stuff, it's just much more secure to use a credit card.
Gina, just an anecdote here. I've heard that there are dining establishments in Pennsylvania specifically that charge 3%. How does it work? If you use a credit card, it costs 3% more. And if you pay cash, 3% less. So there's a trend here to discourage credit cards at small eateries.
It's interesting that you say that. I mean, I'm talking to you now from, we're down the shore because it's Memorial Day weekend, and you wouldn't believe how many restaurants there are in down the shore. It's different than it is in Philly. Every place I'm going into is saying use a credit card, you're going to pay 3-point-something% more as a fee. Some of the credit card companies are capping that, like they're not allowing their retailers and restaurants to charge more than what their actual financing fee is, but I'm seeing a lot of it. But anyway, I did want to just say, so the change that I just want to make sure everyone is aware of, though, this was reported by the Associated Press, and but you know, Visa in particular, MasterCard is going to follow up with it as well. They're going to start limiting the number of credit cards that you have. They're going to combine your cards. So, like, you know, John, like, say you've got, like, three Visa cards with three different banks for whatever reason. They're going to start consolidating that. So you just have one card, and then that card itself can be, you could choose which bank you want it to be used, which Visa. They're going to consolidate them all so that it's just easier to use. It's easier to set it up for mobile banking and mobile pay as well. So we're going to stop seeing a lot of these credit cards that we're carrying around. Our wallet's going to start getting a little bit lighter in the very near future.
Gene Marks, small business columnist, the Guardian, the Philadelphia Inquirer. We're going to a column he published in the Inquirer about the Corporate Transparency Act. I'm John Batch.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
When it comes to broccoli salad, Ohio, you got the secret ingredient on lock. Miracle Whip. Everyone from Toledo to Portsmouth knows that tangy zip. So here's to you for keeping it bold, keeping it zippy, and keeping Miracle Whip in all your favorite recipes. Buy now and get your tang on, Ohio.
It's Cybersecurity Awareness Month. LifeLock is here with tips to help protect your identity. Use strong passwords, set up multi-factor authentication, report scams, and update your software. And for comprehensive identity protection, LifeLock is your best choice. LifeLock alerts you to suspicious uses of your personal information and fixes identity theft, guaranteed, or your money back. Start your protection today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com. Use promo code NEWS. Terms apply.